My dear friends in Christ, I would first like to take this opportunity for myself, Father Michael Sautner, and the good sisters to assure you of our prayers, especially at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We pray for your health, both physical and spiritual. I also would like to thank all of you for your prayers and continued support. Many of you mail in the weekly tithe, even though you're kept from church by the ongoing ban of gatherings. And may God bless you for your care and concern for God's church and your support, monetary but especially spiritual. Your prayers are most appreciated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Crucified Lord Jesus, have mercy on us, and help the suffering souls in purgatory. On this Palm Sunday, I would like to share a few thoughts with you for your consideration and meditation. This week is called Holy Week on account of the mysteries commemorated: Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, the institution of the Holy Priesthood, the institution of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the Sermon of Charity Christ gave to his apostles at the Last Supper, the Hour of the Lord, the Lamb of God taking upon himself our sins, his agony, the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter, the abandonment of his apostles and disciples and friends, the few who remained faithful, the mistrials, the mistreatments, the abuse, the torment, and death of Christ, all the things he went through for our redemption and salvation, and the obedience and humility he demonstrated in his passion. St. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verse 8, states, "But he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. He humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross." It is here I would like to encourage you to make great efforts and strive to make this week holy. Perform your spiritual exercises with greater diligence. Perfect and unite your sacrifices with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Read and pray the liturgical readings and prayers found in your missal, even though you are unable to come to the liturgy of this Holy Week. Read the account of the Passion and Death of Christ found in the Gospels, all four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pray your rosary with care, meditating on the mysteries, and make it personal. He was born for you. He died for you. He rose from the dead for you. Daily make a sincere act of contrition and a spiritual communion. Weed out of your heart any uncharity, pride, and sin. Forgiving your neighbor from your heart, all the people you have anything against. Humbly submit all your cares to the Lord. As it states in Scripture, cast all your anxieties upon the Lord because he cares for you. Make room for Christ to rise in your heart in a special way this Easter, and you will find that peace and fulfillment that the good Lord promises. As you know, we were meditating on the Sundays of Lent on the seven last words of Christ. We are on the fourth word of Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is said in Scripture that he cried this out. St. Mark uses the Greek word or verb oboensen, with one's voice at a high volume, a shout, a cry out in anguish, loud enough to even echo on the walls of Jerusalem. Interesting, the blind man in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 38, when they tried to silence him, the same word is used as he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." It is the same word that is used in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 7, when Philip is in Samaria, casting out demons. And as the evil spirit leaves, he cries out. But why did Christ cry out? Why? Was he forsaken by God? He who was God made man? His divinity, during his passion, was silent. As man, he suffered for man. The most horrible sufferings, and the most horrible of all, was the silence of his divinity. This started in the agony when he cried to his father to let this chalice pass, and he started to experience what his soul ought to experience when that soul is without God. And this caused Christ to sweat blood. Of course, this lasted through the whole of his passion until his death. But it should be noted that this word of Christ followed after he gave his mother to us. The thought to meditate on is that this is what a soul should experience and does experience when separated from his Creator, his Redeemer, his Sanctifier, but is far too often only realized in eternity. Many are blinded by this misfortune. They have eyes but do not see. They pick shallow and earthly riches and sacrifice the divine opportunities and gifts. Christ took upon himself all our infirmities, especially our spiritual infirmities, so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Let us pray as St. Alphonsus prompts us to pray when meditating on this word. O my Jesus, may I never be unmindful of the love which thou hast borne me. The fifth word of Christ on the cross is, I thirst. St. Thomas, or I should say Thomas a Kempis, wrote, Lord Jesus Christ, fountain of living water and source of salvific wisdom, I bless and thank you for the acute thirst you experienced as you hung on your cross. Inasmuch as your sacred and precious blood had flowed from you, and all your body's natural liquids were consumed, this was due to the excessive torture that you endured. Your body was completely dry, and so you thirsted. You thirsted still more, however, because of your ardent desire for our salvation. And very much like a poor beggar, you ask for a drink, saying, I thirst. But to this simple request, there was no one who would respond, not even to offer a cup of cool water to you, who made all the waters of this world. There were those standing nearby who heard this request, but rather than being moved to pity, they were incited to greater brutality. Satisfying the malice they nourished in their breasts, they soaked a sponge in vinegar mixed with gall, and offered this most bitter draught to your sweet lips. Such a drink would not be even given to dogs. The fact of the matter is, my dear friends in Christ, Christ still thirsts. He thirsts for our love, unadulterated. Love that is proven by keeping his commandments. Remember what he says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and my Father will love you, and we will come to you and make our abode in you. He thirsts for souls willing to give up all for the hidden treasure in the field, for the pearl of great price, for the kingdom of heaven. As we read in the book of Proverbs, he speaks and says, my will is to be with the children of men. He wishes and thirsts for us to make our treasure him, to be one with him in time and eternity. Remember what he said, as read in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. The sixth and seventh word, it is finished, and Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. This sixth word of Christ, it is finished, follows closely to the fifth word and precedes closely his final word on the cross. He has completely finished his Father's will. He has completed the task of redemption. He has completed the first Mass, began the night before at the Last Supper. He has established a means by which men could partake in this act of redemption. My flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. Now it is finished. It is his ite missa est. The Mass is, and now he can go. He commends his spirit to his Father before it leaves his body in death. His last breath is his Amen, and bowing his head, he dies. It is the end of the mystery of his sacrifice, but it is not the end, but a beginning. The Old Testament has ended. The Testament of promise and prophecy is over. The New Testament has officially begun, and so we read in Scripture that the temple curtain is rent in two from top to the bottom. By the sacrifice of Christ, God is no longer a hidden and unknown God, but an eager and intimate God, wanting to be one with all who want to be one with him. Any who are willing to deny self, to to take up their cross and to follow Him, His way, believe in His truth, to have His life, Thou in me and I in Thee in time and eternity. My dear friends, let us contemplate these spiritual realities, especially this week, this Holy Week. Take them to heart. Understand what Christ did for us, what He does for us on our altars, and what He did for us on the cross. And as St. Paul states in his epistle to the Colossians, let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly in all wisdom, and whatsoever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.